POCfoodandwine.com. It has the full schedule of events, and there's something for everybody. Like, you want the festival vibes, like, go to the main dish. That's our most, like, our biggest event. Or you want after-party vibes, like, with Bacardi and Doucet and Case Tea. Like, we're uplifting, like, non-alcoholic beverages as well. Or you want that curated dinner, sit-down experience, like, check out our family meal. So there's something for everyone.
Welcome to Bitch Talk. I'm your host, Erin, here with my co-host, Ange, aka Captain Party. And over the last 10 years, we've been elevating marginalized voices through interviews and events.
Sometimes over a glass of whiskey. If you're thirsty for more bitches, head over to bitchtalkpodcast.com and follow us on Instagram.
A big thank you to 48 Hills and our listeners for voting us Best of the Bay Best Podcast in 2022 and 2023.
And now, on with the show.
All right, Bitch Talkers, we are in the secret room at the Battery in San Francisco with someone we met years ago at CamFest at Spark Social. Her name's Gita Marico Rosales, and she has founded Make It Marico. But we are here to talk about the POC Food Fest, which we are very, very excited about, and it's about damn time.
Yeah.
So welcome to Bitch Talk.
You know it was a long time ago because it was pre-COVID.
Yeah. So it's like 15 years ago in COVID years.
Forever, yeah.
But before we get into the POC Food Fest,
yeah,
let's talk about origin story.
Yeah, let's go.
Because there. You have a good story. And it's really... It makes us very happy to hear it and to have you on to talk about it.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. Well, like, origin, where did I come from? Daly City, Seton Hospital. But how did we get here,
yes.
I guess, right? Like, today, this day, producing giant events and producing our own ideas. It's definitely been a journey. So, like, I'm a Bay girl born and raised. I've traversed the gamut of cities throughout my time and went from, like, stage performance production, dance companies, to nonprofit, to Google corporate for 7 years, to then starting my own agency. So I've touched on like so many elements of event production over the years. And then when I started Making Marico was like really leaning deep into community building, but through large scale production. And Undiscovered SF was our big baby that was birthed through the Filipino Cultural District. So a lot of people have known us about Undiscovered, and it's been absolutely beautiful building Filipino community. But also this whole time we've been building the past 7 years in Soma Pilipinas, I've seen all these amazing creatives on the outside really just inspiring me and also being inspired by us, and just like, but we couldn't really tap them in because we were so Filipino focused. So that was like a beautiful kind of challenge for me.
Yeah, I do have to talk about Undiscovered because I've loved it for years, but this year or last year now in particular, I went every month, and I think between my sister and I think we bought like 10 pairs of earrings.
Yes,
I bought books for my goddaughters with Filipina girls as the star of the book. It was just like things that made me so happy. So I just want to thank you so much for bringing that to the community. And if you can talk about how it's felt and the feedback you're getting from the community that's so deeply rooted here but has never been fully celebrated.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so it's like a critical partnership, Make It Marico and Cultivate Labs, the nonprofit in Soma, Pilipinas. It's been so beautiful to build and grow our companies together. And to be honest, like, people always look at me like, yeah, you're like Filipino Pinay Queen, hella pride. I'm like, now? But literally, I was totally that Filipina who just like walked past that Filipino booth in college. I never really felt like connected to Filipino culture as I am now until I founded Undiscovered SF. And it was only because I was like, hey, let's carve out a space where I can be Filipino my way. And my way looks like hip hop. So it was like, how do we bring Filipino culture and hip hop together now? Oh, that me. So then I really was like, oh, okay, there's a way for me to be highly Filipino and myself at the same time.
You're speaking our language.
Yeah.
Gina. I mean, this is the first POC Food and Wine Festival, which it's a little crazy because we're in the Bay. Like, this should have happened pre-pandemic. I do understand, but I don't understand why it hasn't happened. But it's people like you and the community to do this. But I love in the press release, there's a couple of sentences I really love that stuck with me. But the thing about build our own table, not waiting for a seat.
Yeah.
expand on that.
Oh my gosh. And you know, the thing is, like, we're not the only diversity wine festival that exists. There's beautiful spaces like Black Food and Wine Experience, Black Vines. I flew to Atlanta last year and experienced Wine and Culture Fest from the Hughes Society. So there's a lot of people out there building communities, but I found that there wasn't a group building multicultural community yet. And that's where I felt like I could have a place to do something and connect. I always see myself as like a connector, a vision person who can like bring people together. So this whole idea of building our own table has been one that stuck with me ever since being at Google. Because to be honest, I was in a really innovative department that allowed me to be myself, but I was still one of the only women of color, one of the only Filipinos, very few people of color in general. And so we were always constantly building our own table, a place that looked like us and with people that understood us. So now I'm just trying to do it on a bigger level and really trying to bring more communities together to dream something big together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes me really curious how you even begin to cultivate for the festival in a place like the Bay that's so rich in cuisine and culture. Like, how did you even begin to choose which chefs, which restaurants you wanted to participate in? And what are some that you're really excited about?
Yeah. And I mean, like, even the first step, even before that, was building the critical festival team. So I have a team with Undiscovered, but I really wanted to, like, expand out because I knew this was going to be a much larger production. So first things first, I brought in an amazing food curator and a retail and beverage curator. And they're these two amazing women of color that I've worked with over the past 7 years through Undiscovered, too. They're not even Filipino. They're just Asian. And they just have mad love for Filipino culture. So partnering with Jen and Julia, our curators, we really got to like go around and think about who do we want to give space to? Because when you're building your own table, you have the power of access. And we really wanted to bring in a broad mix of folks. So we brought in folks like that were from Top Chef, like Chef 2 David Fu, Chef Nelson from Sobra Mesa, Monique from Tarts de Fay Best. They were all on Top Chef. We even have like James Beard nominated folks like Dabao Singapore and Reims, California. They are just truly amazing. I knew even from the get-go that with everything happening in the world right now, we wanted to highlight Palestinian culture front and center. So we're like opening the festival with a Palestinian family meal just to humanize and like talk about food. So there was a few pieces that we knew we wanted to have. And then it was just a matter of also bringing in new folks that have never had access to a platform like this before. So it's a really broad mix of POC folks who have been in industry and then also folks who are just up and coming.
I do want to talk about, I actually love, it's probably hard on y'all, but I think it's cool for people in the Bay to have a multi-day event like this, but on two sides of the Bay. Can you talk about that choice?
Oh, thanks for saying that.
Yeah, of course. Well, go talk
absolutely
about it.
Well, okay, first off, I knew I wanted to do the big day at CL Creative Space because Cecilia, who is the CEO over there, the moment I met her, I knew we were like sisters, creative sisters. And so we've been building together ever since Make It Mariko helped them launch their event program at CL in 2021. So I knew that it was going to be there. But at the same time, I'm so San Francisco and I'm so tied to the city. I have mad love for the city. And I knew I wanted to do something in San Francisco as well. It's also Small Business Week that week. So this was like this good mix of like, hey, let's do the big day at Berkeley because we can fit all the people. But let's do the curated, smaller, intimate events in San Francisco so that people there still have access. Access, like the bridge is so far because that's how San Francisco people feel, though.
We stay in our own neighborhoods, let alone crossing the bridge.
It's real hard to get out.
Is there a time difference in Oakland? Like, I don't even know.
Oh, man, I got to go to Battery Street today.
I know.
It's so far. The whole 7 miles.
It's so far. I know.
We'll get you a rosé for your troubles. Yeah. but it wouldn't be a Make It Mariko event if there wasn't also some fucking cool-ass music happening. Yes. So can you talk about how you're tying in music to the food and just some crazy acts in between?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm a dancer, I married a DJ, and music is so important to me. So I knew that one of the biggest things I wanted to do was, yes, we're highlighting bomb food with wine and drink pairings, mm-hmm. first of all. So there's that, too, that we're doing differently. But I knew the music had to be on point. And I wanted not just like a DJ, I wanted the best DJs. So we're really tying in music culture to food culture because they're all so interwoven and connected. They're all creative communities that vibe off of each other to create experience. And so like our Friday industry night is for anyone in the industry, like events, hospitality, music, food, and we're calling it Sip and Scratch. So it's like, yes, we will be sipping on delicious things and eating, but we're going to dive deep into Scratch DJ culture. So, of course, DJ Shortcut and DJ Locke will be doing a demo. And they're literally not even the best in the Bay, but one of the best in the world.
For decades.
Absolutely. Yeah. From the get-go. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we have DJs and live bands all throughout our main dish Saturday event and after party. We've got to have the after party. So DJ Umami, Lady Ryan.
Of course.
GTC band. If you've never heard of them, it's like 90s, 20 hip-hop cover band. I've never heard some of these hip-hop songs covered. Like Slurricane Live.
Get it. We're in. I think we're just going to be there for the whole weekend. We're gonna keep talking about the POC Food and Wine Fest, but I do want to talk about being a woman of color and being a business owner in San Francisco and what that's looked like. You started Make It Mariko in 2015, is that right?
Yeah.
And you had to ride the wave of the pandemic. So let's dig in a little bit.
And an all-women ran company.
Correct.
Yeah.
Like the whole thing. POC, yeah. All the things.
Absolutely. I mean, going to large-scale corporate events at Google, being one of the only women of color, being one of the only people of color at industry events, it stood out very clearly. And in rooms where I'm the executive producer of events, I've had men talk down to me and call me sweetie, honey, this and that. I had somebody pat me on my head once at event and told me I was cute. So it's just like we're
blood is boiling.
I've turned and walked away because nothing good can come of that.
Yes.
So we are constantly being made to feel that we don't belong and that we're not experienced when we know what the fuck we're doing mm-hmm. all the time. So I knew I wanted to create a space for women of color to thrive. And our whole goal at Make It Mariko is like changing the status quo of what it looks like to be an event curator, an experience curator in this space. So it hasn't been easy, but what's been beautiful is seeing how things are growing. So even over the past 7 years, seeing more women of color being like, I want to work in events, and us being able to launch internship programs to, you know, bring them up and create space for them. And then just seeing more people of color starting their own businesses and making big moves. It's been so beautiful to see. And we still have a long road ahead of us, but at least we can have these spaces where we can find community and build together.
There was a point, because we were talking about this before we started recording, is, you know, following each other on social media and seeing things.
Yeah.
There was a point where you took a sabbatical.
Yes.
But it was a thing. And I really appreciated what you were telling people, how you were talking about it, and what it was all about. So do you mind sharing
Absolutely.
A little bit about that?
Yeah. I burnt out. Like, real bad. We all have burnouts, for sure. But then you kind of pick yourself up and you keep going. It's the immigrant way. I'm like, y'all can't see, but I'm literally wearing a shirt that says daughter of an immigrant today. And so we just know we have resilience. We know how to pick back up. At that end of the pandemic, I was just pushing and pushing so hard. And it got to a place in the business where I was just like a shell of myself.
And can I ask something really quickly? Because it was the pandemic. You had, your company had to really, like a lot of people, but pivot. Yeah. I hate that word, but it was a thing. You pivoted hard.
Absolutely. And actually, it was the most successful year I've ever had in the business because of the pivot. Was it the work I enjoyed doing? Not really. But we were successful at it. Mm-hmm. So for me, I'm the kind of person, if you give me a challenge, I will solve that challenge. Mm-hmm. But then it got to a point after a while where I was like, all right, this is not why I got into this. It's okay and it's doing us fine, but I need something else to feel joy. And it just wasn't there, wasn't possible. And of course, growing business needs too. I wasn't set up for success and I was really trying to navigate running a huge business on my own, and I didn't know what to do. And so I constantly felt like I was letting people down. Mm-hmm. I think that's the hard thing about being a person of color in the business too. When you are pioneering in a space where no one like you has done it before, and other people are looking up to you, and then of course we try so hard to like share with everyone to make it better for those coming after us, then there's this huge expectation. People end up starting to put you on a pedestal and being like, wow, I'm so amazed and I want to do just like you. But they fail to realize, like, I'm a human being. Mm-hmm. I'm just a regular ass person that just is really good at this, but I'm not perfect and I'm going to mess up. And I made a lot of mistakes that year. And being also daughters of immigrants, we're so hard on ourselves. Mm-hmm. So I really I didn't know how to make mistakes and then overcome them. I just blamed myself for them. And it was just a shame game. So that's what dug me into this hole where I just had no idea who I was anymore. And it was thankfully the other Pinay women in my life who are my peers who were just like, you just need to stop, Gina. Like, this is the only way for you is just to hard stop. And I had never done that before.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Thank you for sharing.
Yes, thank you so much for sharing that. I'm on a bit of a sabbatical myself,
okay,
too.
Okay, yeah, working.
Which is why I'm drinking at noon. anyway, moving on. How do you think being Filipino helps you be particularly good at throwing parties?
Oh, my God. I love Let's talk about it. How did you know?
Because I'm Filipino.
Actually talk about this in one of my origin story blogs. Is I say my first teacher of event planning was my family.
Yes, exactly.
So a Filipino family party, if you've never been, there's just hella people coming through all the time. Every holiday, sometimes there might be a new special guest that pops through. Tons of food, always enough food, always a bars, karaoke. It's just entertainment and space for everyone. Mm-hmm. So that is what I took and what I want to bring into every event. I want everyone to feel included. I want there always to be enough food. I want there to be dancing and partying and singing and joy. And I want everyone to always feel welcome. So Filipinos know what's up.
Correct. Thank you.
I just wanted to hear that. She's been telling me for years, at least 20.
My nickname is Captain Party. Yes. So
wow. She brings the party hat literally.
I should have worn it today.
When we go to film festivals, when we travel, she brings the karaoke. I'm not kidding.
Travel karaoke. Yes. I'm here for that. That's next level.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if you need
the magic mic. Yes. You know about the magic mic.
Absolutely.
If you need more help, here's Captain Party.
Or if you just want me to show up with my hat and, add to the vibes.
Yeah. All of it is necessary.
Look. Yeah. Anyways, there's a lot going on here. So there's something else we talked about before we turn on the mics. We saw Larry the Musical 2 nights ago. You saw it this last weekend.
Yes.
Amazing, amazing. Broadway bound. I'm saying it
absolutely
on the mic.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Musical. But there's something in this musical and the story that you wanted to talk about concerning the POC Food and Wine Festival as
absolutely.
Well. There's a tie-in.
I was just amazed at that. I never realized this before even. Mm-hmm. So this past weekend was Cesar Chavez Day. Mm-hmm. And I also watched Larry the Musical on the Somos Pilipinas and Labor Day that all these labor movement people and Filipino community came out. And as I was just looking at the program, I realized holy shit, the United Farm Workers was an example of a really powerful multicultural collaboration. Cesar Chavez, Larry Itliong bringing Cesar Chavez and the Mexican workers to the table so that they could unite. A lot of people don't know that, his role in that. And then having this United Farm Workers come together and fight for, 35 cents an hour?
Right.
That's what they were fighting for not too long ago. And so that really reminded me oh my God, that's exactly what we're doing with POC Food and Wine, is trying to create multicultural collaborations that never existed before so that we can have power together, united. And hello, Larry Itliong, Delano Grape Strike. They were growing grapes and tending grapes. And what is wine made out of? Grapes, girl. And I was just like, how did you not connect that? And
did you have a moment?
Absolutely had a moment staring at the program being like, holy shit, grapes are wine. And it's what we're doing. And I love to tell everyone, because here's the thing, for me, it's events are more than just events. We do events for a bigger purpose. Mm-hmm. So the bigger goal, my 3 to 5 year goal of POC Food and Wine Festival is to buy land. So we're going to buy a 25 acre plus ranch. I just call it the ranch because I don't know have a name for it yet. We're going to buy a ranch and it's going to be an event space, an overnight retreat center, and hopefully a vineyard, a place where we can grow.
We're like, totally, if you're trying to sell us, we're in. Go ahead. Like,
or can we park our tiny homes on the property?
I'm saying. So my whole goal always is, yes, creating spaces. But spaces are temporary events, but they're also permanent spaces. And for me personally, I'm tired of temporary spaces. Mm-hmm. And I'm ready to root in. And I'm ready to build something that we can pass down to the next generation and create legacy. How are we going to create legacy for the next generation and learn from Larry and Caesar, you know? So that's where it's going. And the thing is, it's 100% completely possible. I actually almost bought one in 2022. Wow. So during the pandemic, I was searching for property and I verbally raised $700,000 from all women of color investors to make the deal happen. But I ended up walking away from the deal at the last minute because there were just some shady things that weren't panning out right. And it didn't feel right in my gut. So I walked away. And I'm so glad I did. I wasn't ready for it. Mm-hmm. But now 2024 Gina is learning. She's growing. And she's ready. And we're ready to bring the community along with us.
Gina, you're riling me up right now.
Let's go.
I am so ready. Okay. Before we go, I just also want to thank you because not only is the Food and Wine, POC Food and Wine Festival bringing together cultures, but also for young kids going to festival like this and seeing that the food of their culture is cool.
Absolutely.
Like you were saying that you walked past, like you didn't really tap into your love for being who you are culturally until older. That's the same for me.
Yeah.
And like as a kid especially, I would be scared like when my friends looked in my fridge.
Because
I'm like, it says Cool Whip, but there's actually fish in there. You know what I mean?
Don't
like,
open that.
And like my friend put patis on the rice instead of soy sauce and I was all embarrassed. So like these kids are going to grow up seeing that like their food is actually cool.
Absolutely. We're so freaking cool. like Black community creates so many amazing trends for our country and then just don't get recognized for it. Like so many people of color, like Filipinos with DJing, like we really took that on and became like one of the best at it. Like we start so many cool trends. It's time for us to get recognized for them.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah. I guess that's why we've been friends for so long. Before we go, where can people buy tickets for the POC Food and Wine Festival in May, early May?
Yes. POCfoodandwine.com has the full schedule of events, and there's something for everybody. Like, you want the festival vibes, like, go to the main dish. That's our most, like, our biggest event. Or you want after party vibes, like with Bacardi and Douce and Case Tea, like we're uplifting like non-alcoholic beverages as well. Or you want that curated dinner sit-down experience, like check out our family meal. So there's something for everyone.
Gina, this is the first of many conversations we'll have with you. But
I hope so.
You are a badass bitch, and thank you so much for being on Bitch Talk.
Thank you so much.
But we're not putting you on a pedestal.
No, you're not on a pedestal.
Let's all be on fucking pedestals together.
Or
that. How about that?
Or we're all laying on a chaise lounge in the sun. How about that?
I mean,
why do we have to be standing?
My biggest vision for the ranch is just like I vision myself sitting on a rocker on the patio just smoking weed all day.
In a moo-moo, maybe?
Absolutely. Let's add that.
Yeah,
moo-moos. Let's add that to the vision.
Once I hit a certain age, it's just moo-moos for life.
I already have my moo-moo. Anyways, thank you. Gina.
Thank you.
We'll see you at the POC Food and Wine Festival.
Absolutely.
Thanks for joining us on today's show. You can find more information about this episode in our show notes.
If you're missing us, you can visit us at bitchtalkpodcast.com to sign up for our newsletter and buy us a cup of coffee.
Did you know we're also on the radio? You can find us at bff.fm.
And lastly, rate and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. All the cool bitches are doing it.
This podcast is a proud member of the BFF.fm podcast network. Learn more at podcasts.bff.fm.
BFF.fm, best frequencies forever.